In the building. Let me welcome you again if you're at home. My name's Nathan. I'm one of the pastors here. And we're going to get our Bibles open now. And obviously, we can't hand out Bibles here. So grab a device or the Bible you brought with you. And we're going to be turning this morning to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. I've got a one-off sermon before we start kind of diving into the Christmas story over the coming weeks. But I wanted to pick something that's been on my heart, something that's helped me. And I hope we'll help you guys this morning as well. So Hebrews chapter 9, and we're just going to read from verse 23 through to verse 28. And as I read, I want you to see if you can spot the Christmas story. Okay, it's here. You just need to look for it. So here we go. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 23. It was necessary then for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these sacrifices, but the heavenly things with better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priests enter the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But he has appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Now, I recognize there's a lot of complicated stuff in there, and I'm just going to try and pull out a few threads that are going to be helpful to us today. But let's ask God's help, shall we, as we look at this part of Scripture together. Our Father in heaven, please, this morning, even in this moment, would you set our expectation that we might hear you speaking to us as the Bible is unfolded for us today. Father, please, would you speak to us personally. Thank you that you're attentive to every one of our circumstances. You know the thoughts that we arrived with, the pressures we're facing, the things that are filling our lives. Father, please would you speak to us corporately as a body of your people, saved to be the body of Christ here in this part of Enfield Town. Father, please would you bring to us just the word we need today, a word in season. Please beautify Christ among us. May he shine just as he did in that transfiguration moment. May he shine brightly before us in his works and his words and his life today. Father, draw us to him. May we leave our gathering this morning, whether we're at home or here in person, loving Jesus more, experiencing more of him, clinging more tightly to him. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Just 19 days left till Christmas. And I guess this year is going to be labeled for many of us as the COVID Christmas, isn't it? Hopefully when these things are a memory to us, we might sit around one day and we'll say to one another, do you remember that year? Do you remember the COVID Christmas? And actually, it's not going to be the Christmas that most of us are used to. It's not going to be the Christmas that many of us this year are longing for. It's Christmas, isn't it, this year, that comes at the end of what's been a pretty tough year for all of us. There's been some shared toughness, hasn't there? Things that are common to everyone. But actually, this season has brought its own individual toughness to each of us in different ways. We've all experienced it slightly differently. And so this morning, what I would like to try and do, just with my one-off sermon that I have before we dive into the Christmas story, is bring you three comforts for Christians as we approach a COVID Christmas. Three comforts for Christians as we approach a COVID Christmas. There's too many C's in there. I thought I was going to trip over that. But three comforts for Christians as we approach a COVID Christmas. There are many reasons, aren't there, as a church family, that we might feel we need a bit of comfort right now. Even as I've called around people and spoken to people in church and taken walks with people, that there is just lots of reasons I'm experiencing that we need a bit of comfort, that we need a Bible hug, that we need sort of God to put his arm around us this morning and say, look, come on, here we go, let me comfort you with something. Many of us are just feeling fed up. Would you relate with that? Fed up with the season, fed up with the rules that are changing. I've spoken to many who are just feeling very flat in this season for no particular one reason, but just this whole season has dropped us in our mood and our outlook. Perhaps we're feeling that fearful. I've spoken to some who in our church family are fearful of the virus, fearful of what it might do, fearful of what it might mean for our future. Perhaps you're struggling this morning and you need some comfort because you're just feeling spiritually dry. I want to assure you, if that is you, you're not alone in church. I think this season has made lots of us just feel a bit dry spiritually, a bit disconnected from church. Our relationship with Jesus just doesn't seem as vibrant as it was when we were kind of able to meet lots together and sing, which does our hearts so much good. Maybe we just feel a bit disengaged. And I know that for many, we need some comfort because this season has actually caused many of us to struggle with particular sins. Actually, isolation hasn't been good for us in that regard. And some of us are really struggling with new temptations. Some of us have had old sins and temptations rear their head. And what we need right now is some comfort. Somebody help me. And so from Hebrews 9 this morning, this little portion we've read, I want to bring to you three comforts for those of us that are looking to Jesus this morning as we approach what's really going to be labeled the COVID Christmas. And it's going to be something from the past, something in the present, and something in the future. Now, for fear of sounding like a Dickens novel, I'm not talking about the ghost of Christmas past and the ghost of Christmas present and the ghost of Christmas future. But what I do want to put before you, church family, for our comfort this morning, is Jesus of Christmas past, Jesus of Christmas present, and Jesus of Christmas future. And as I do that this morning, I hope that it'll flood us with comfort as I put before you these things. So here we go, comfort number one. Comfort number one is this: Jesus has appeared to do away with sin. That's what we're celebrating, isn't it, as we approach Christmas? That is Jesus of Christmas past, the appearing of Jesus. Did you spot the Christmas story as we read Hebrews 9 together? There it is in verse 26, halfway through. See if you can look down there with me. What does it say halfway through? But he, Jesus, has appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. That is the Jesus of Christmas past. Jesus who appeared in our world. That's often the language of what we call the incarnation, of God taking on flesh and being visible, touchable, seeable among us. Jesus becoming one of us to do away with sin. My sin, your sin if you're trusting in him. That's the heart of the Christmas message, isn't it? In the coming weeks, we're going to read the narratives, which some of us know so well. But what does he say? What does God say? The angels say, you will call him Jesus, because he will take away the sins of his people. As we look back on 2020, the dominant issue has been COVID, hasn't it? The biggest problem facing our world this year has been this virus. And we have longed, I'm sure, at points that someone would come and do away with the virus, that they would zero it, make it disappear. Who hasn't prayed that in this time? God, would you take this virus away? Would you nullify it? We've longed for a vaccine. We've hoped that it would just go away. But I want to say to you, if that is the biggest problem this year, actually even greater a problem for our world, and this is laughable by many in our world, but it's the truth the Bible declares for us, even bigger problem than the COVID virus is our sin. Sin is all those things that we do that are contrary to the things that God says is good and right in his word. And sin, though, is more than just a list of things that we do that are wrong. Actually, it's actually our attitude to God. We grab for his role as God, and we strive for that godness in our lives. We want to do what we want to do, and we refuse his rule. Sin is what we do, but it's also an attitude of our hearts. And why is that a problem? Well, look with me at verse 27. Why is it a bigger problem than COVID? Well, look at verse 27. It says, just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment. It's a problem because the reality is that we all die and we will all face judgment. Now, that is a reality that this year has put before us in very stark ways, isn't it? I cannot remember in my 42 years of life where I have ever been confronted with daily and weekly death figures. I cannot remember a time in my life where we have seen some of the horrendous pictures in the Western world of morgues being too full. But that is the reality that is put before us. It is a day, yes, that a vaccine might delay a bit, but it is not a day the vaccine can push away. And one day the Bible declares to us that we will be ushered into the presence of our Maker, and we will need to give account for the way that we have lived. And there will be a time where we are held to account for our sin, for how we have treated God our Maker. But the comfort for us this morning, friends, is this. Jesus appeared. See that in verse 26? He appeared 2,000 years ago to do away with our sin. That courtroom of God that one day we will all face holds no fear for those whose sin has been done away with. This little phrase, to do away with sin, you see it. Look again in verse 26. He appeared to do away with sin. That is a legal phrase. It is a phrase that you would expect to see in a courtroom. And it means that it has been completely removed, completely taken away. It's the word annulled, zeroified. It's completely gone. And how does Jesus do that? How can Jesus take away every reason in your life and my life that means we should be actually guilty before God? How does he do that? Well, look again at verse 26. He does it by the sacrifice of himself. As he gives his life on a cross for us. Verse 28, if you look down there, it says, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time not to bear sin. That's the implication, that the first time he appeared in this world was to bear sin. That means to pick up the burden and carry the burden of our sin, to take it upon himself. This picks up the idea of Isaiah the prophet. He bore the sins of many. Or Peter picks up on this idea in his letter that he bore our sins in his body on that tree. And look again at verse 26. What does it say? He did it once for all. Not for all people, but for all the sins of those who are trusting in him. It's not a repeated thing. Jesus doesn't have to keep being sacrificed. Jesus gave himself once for all. And that was enough for my sin. Every sin I have committed, I am committing, and will commit. Jesus' sacrifice pays it all. There are all sorts of ways that we are prone to want to make our sins up to God. And I think sometimes as Christians, we can be even worse at this. I'll try a bit harder. I'll kind of do a bit more Bible reading. I'll try and book into every service next week so that I'm there all three of the same service. We try and make it up to God, but nothing will nullify our sin. accept the work of Jesus. And friends, I start there this morning as a comfort, because in the middle of a COVID Christmas, Jesus has appeared to deal with my greatest problem. It's easy to lose sight in the middle of this year, thinking, well, COVID is our biggest problem. But the Bible says, no, it's not our biggest problem. Our biggest problem is sin. And Jesus has dealt with it. Jesus has done away with sin once for all by sacrificing himself. We sing about it sometimes, don't we? My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. I don't know what this year's been like for you. Has it been a year of new temptations, new struggles? Perhaps it's been a year of old temptations and old struggles rearing their heads. Maybe it's been a year of fresh doubts in your Christian life. Maybe it's been a year where you've started to fear death, fear judgment, fear what eternity holds for you. This Christmas, let me urge you to remember that Jesus has appeared. That's what we're celebrating in the Christmas story. He has come and he has done away with sin. Once for all my sins, there is nothing more needed. Are you trusting Jesus to do away with your sin? If you're not, then ask him. Ask him to do away with your sin. Can you say this morning, with confidence as we approach Christmas, Jesus has done away with my sin? That's comfort number one as we approach Christmas. He has appeared. Comfort number two, though, is this. Jesus now appears for us in heaven. So we've done Jesus of Christmas past. This is the Jesus of Christmas present. Where is Jesus? What is Jesus doing in this COVID year? Jesus, where are you? Well, look at verse 24. It says in verse 24, for Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself now to appear for us in God's presence. See that word? Now, presently, this is what Jesus is doing. Where is Jesus in this COVID Christmas? He is in heaven, the dwelling place of God. This dwelling place, the heavenly sanctuary, as it calls it here, has been represented at various times and in various ways here on earth. The Garden of Eden was a representation, as it were, of the heavenly sanctuary. Then there's the tabernacle. Some of you may know that if you've read the Bible, a tent in the Old Testament that was a copy of the heavenly sanctuary that was transformed into a temple. But this has always been the kind of outpost, the copy of heaven. But Jesus doesn't sit in a tent or a temple or a garden. He sits in heaven itself, in the presence of God. That is where he is now. And what is Jesus doing now? What has he been doing in this year of the COVID virus? Well, look again at verse 24. Look at the language. It says there that he now appears for us in heaven. He appears to represent us, to stand and intercede with God the Father for us. Just let that sink in for a moment. There is somebody in heaven praying for Enfield Town Community Church. That's amazing, isn't it? For the individuals that make up Enfield Town Community Church. There is someone representing you in heaven. In all our needs, in all our struggles, in all our doubts, in all our fears. Someone, Jesus, stands in heaven for you, for us, for our strengthening, for our well-being, for our needs, for our forgiveness, for our lifting up when we are bowed low. So just come back with me a page, if you've got a Bible, to Hebrews 7 and verse 25. It says there that therefore Jesus is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for us. Now we need to understand this. Because Jesus has appeared, Christmas past, and because he has done away with sin, like the old priests who would have sacrificed an animal before they could enter the tent, because he has done those things, Jesus is now fit and qualified to stand in heaven for us. We've recently had the joy as a church of starting a new ministry called Grace Advocacy. For those of you who are here, you may have walked past the banner on your way in. It's a ministry where we try to help people, represent people before those who can help them. Where people are struggling to get the help they need, we stand in their place, we represent them. And in a small way, that's just a reflection of what Jesus is doing for us right now in heaven. Not because God the Father needs coercing in to help us. The Father and the Son are of one mind and one heart, and they love us, and together they authored and constructed our salvation. But it's the fact that the Son stands in heaven as the very reason that the Father loves to help us. His sacrifice once for all. And as we approach this COVID Christmas, there is someone looking out for you. Isn't that a comfort? There is someone in heaven representing you. He now appears in heaven. And the one representing us in heaven right now knows what it is to be you. Knows what it is to live in a broken world. Knows what it is to feel lonely. Knows what it is to be in a world where people abandoned him. To feel neglected. To feel let down. Friends, that is the Jesus of Christmas present. Isn't he beautiful? Jesus of Christmas past, he has appeared to do away with sin. Jesus of Christmas present, where is he now? What is he doing? He is in heaven interceding for you. But here's comfort number three. Jesus will appear to bring us salvation. That is the Jesus of Christmas future. Now, I'm using the term loosely there, but just in the sense of not next Christmas or anything like that, but the time Jesus will come again. You see, look with me at verse 28, will you? Chapter 9 and verse 28. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. See, often at Christmas, we spend our time thinking about the past. And that's right, isn't it? We look back to this time that Jesus appeared and he did away with sin. But there's something in the Christmas story that should cause us to look forwards, to look with hope. Just as certainly as Jesus appeared all those years ago, just as he was seen by the shepherds and the wise men came to visit him, just as certain as that was, he will come again. And the Christmas story should stir in us that comfort and excitement that he's coming. And what will happen at this second appearing? Well, look at verse 28. It says, first of all, a negative. He's not coming this time to bear sin. That means he's not coming to sacrifice himself again, not coming to do some more work, to top up the forgiveness. No, he's done that. His sacrifice was once for all. Instead, he comes to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. And it's literally translated there, eagerly waiting for him. Is that you? Hasn't this COVID year just stirred in us as Christians just a little bit more eagerness for Jesus to come back? As we read the Christmas story, are you excited that Jesus will come again? In 1914, some of you will know the explorer Ernest Shackleton, but he led an expedition to the Antarctica, and the plan was then to walk on to the South Pole. But as they made their way, it was going well, but eventually the boat that they were traveling in got stuck in the ice, and the ice then crushed the hull of this boat. They got into one of the lifeboats, they traveled to a small island nearby. And Shackleton, with just a very small team, left his main team behind, the crew of the boat, and said, I'm going to go and get help, and I will return for you. And so he traveled with just only a small navigation instrument. He navigated 800 miles of treacherous seas and arrived at the small island of St. George Island. And then he traveled over the island, over the mountains of the island, and he landed in a whaling port where he commandeered a boat and he traveled back and returned for his crew. Not one was left behind. Just as he said, he returned to save them. And friends, in a very similar way, Jesus will return for his people. For those of us that are waiting for him. For those of us who, despite that perhaps many not believing in that day, for those of us who persist in believing, he will come back for us. See, as we come towards this COVID Christmas, in a year that's been really tough, a year that's been full of broken and difficult things, I want to say to you, it should be a comfort to us to know that Jesus will come for us again. And when he comes, it will be a full and eternal salvation. You see, you might be sitting there thinking, well, aren't we already saved? Well, yes, we are. But that was the kind of the started salvation. There will come a time where we will get full salvation. And when Jesus comes again, it will be a world with no viruses. It will be a world with no loneliness. And some of the other big things we've seen this year, there'll be no racism. There'll be no inequality. There'll be no death. There'll be no mourning. There'll be no crying. There'll be no pain. In that way, he will save us. Save us fully and completely. Friends, this is Jesus of Christmas future. This is what we're looking forward to. So friends, here this morning are three comforts for us as we approach a COVID Christmas. Looking back, looking up, looking forward. We look back and we remember that Jesus has appeared. That's what we're celebrating in these coming weeks. He has appeared to deal with my greatest problem. He has done away with my sin. We look up because right now, where is Jesus? He is representing me in heaven. He stands before the Father for my good. And I look forward because I know that Jesus is coming again. He will appear a second time to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Do you know, if you're a Christian this morning, you can say this Christmas, as you're celebrating Christmas in whatever way we get to celebrate it this year, these three things mean that you can say with confidence, I'm forgiven, I'm represented in heaven, and I will be saved. How many people get to say that this year? I'm forgiven, I'm represented in heaven, and I will be saved. Can you say that? Amen, because I know that lots of you can. But for those of you who don't yet believe in Jesus, do you want to be able to say those things this year? Then put your trust in Jesus, who has appeared, who now appears in heaven, and who will appear one day. Friends, these are three comforts as we approach what's going to be perhaps a difficult Christmas for many of us, the COVID Christmas. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, it really has been a tough year for so many of us. Father, there have been common things that we've shared that are difficult, but we know for many there have been particular difficulties. Father, we pray for those who grieve. We pray for those who've found themselves in difficult financial situations. Father, we pray for those who've really struggled with loneliness or depression in this time. But we want to thank you for the comforts of your word. Thank you for the comforts of Jesus. Father, he's so beautiful. We thank you that he has appeared to do away with sin, to deal with our greatest problem. Father, we all will die and face judgment. And we thank you that Jesus has made it possible for us not to fear that day, because there is now no condemnation for those who are trusting in Jesus. We thank you that he now appears for us in heaven. Thank you that he is interceding for us, for our well-being, for our good, for our faith, for our fears. We praise you that he is doing that right now. And we thank you that he will appear. Or come, Lord Jesus, put this world right. We eagerly expect you. We eagerly await you. Father, please remind us of that day as we celebrate that first coming of Jesus in the coming weeks. Father, may we realize that in a COVID Christmas, Jesus is the best person for us to be with, to stick with, to believe in. And we pray these things in his name. Amen.